This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. This week, our technology contributor, Shani Jardin, is bringing us stories about the people of Tibet and their community in northern India that many Tibetan exiles now call home. Shani's writing about this because the Tibetans are using modern technology to preserve their ancient traditions.
When Chinese forces entered Tibet after World War II, Tibet's spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, fled to India. Waves of refugees followed him there after India's government gave them land. Today, the Dalai Lama and leaders of the Tibetan government in exile now call the northern Indian village of Dharamshala their home.
This week, the Central Tibetan Administration began airing an internet news broadcast. This is what it sounds like. Tibetan internet from Dharamshala. As reporter Shani Jardin traveled, she found other ways that technology is changing the lives of Tibetan exiles, young and old.
It's raining this morning in the Himalayan foothills of Dharamshala, India. Looking out over these green valleys dotted with Tibetan temples and colorful prayer flags, technology isn't the first thing that pops into your head. Electricity, phones, and internet access are expensive and hard to come by here. They die for days, leaving the region cut off from the world. But there's an effort underway to change that and to teach young Tibetan refugees here about computers and the internet.
Good morning.
I'm at the Tibetan Children's Village in Dharamshala, or as locals call it, the TCV. The peach-cheeked three-year-old trying to eat my microphone right now is one of about 2,000 boys and girls here. There are four other Tibetan Children's Villages in India, serving more than 16,000 children in all. My guide is Lobsang Tsomo, a TCV project director who grew up in India's Tibetan refugee community. As we walk the steep hills of the campus, she explains that many of these children were brought out of Tibet by relatives or paid guides.
Most of them had, walked for weeks without eating or without, sleeping, usually in the winter, so that there are less guards and less vigilance, And we had a few cases of children with, frostbitten legs and, toes also.
After a treacherous journey, the lucky ones make it to facilities like TCV that are modern by regional standards. On-site schools teach them traditional Tibetan culture and trade skills for the modern world, including information technology. Inside a room at the TCV campus is the Tibetan Technology Center, where Western hackers and Tibetans are teaming up to build a wireless network. Young people and adults take computer classes here, too. Naima Wojer is a 16-year-old TCV resident studying web publishing software.
Here we are studying JavaScript and PHP and many stuff. Yeah.
Yes, there are nerds in the Himalayas. Naima has lived in foster care here since he was two and has big internet dreams.
What do you hope to get out of this? What do you want to do with this?
I will create a website.
Yeah? A website about what?
Website about Tibet story.
About your story and the story of your people?
Yeah, sure.
That's exactly what TCV's General Secretary Thubten Dorji wants to hear. He believes technology is essential to the survival of the Tibetan people.
If you look at the history of Tibet, we lost the country because we were also not geared towards a technological aspect of what the outside world were doing, So we had no weapons to fight with the Chinese. We had no technology to cope up with the Chinese. Now that our Tibetans in exile, we cannot afford to lag behind.
The TCV relies on Western aid. Yet many here see tech education as a way out of dependence on international philanthropy. They envision a future where Tibetan exiles set up profitable call centers like the ones in India's booming tech centers further south. Or e-commerce sites selling traditional art or yak cheese online. Some young Tibetans are eager for those opportunities and find the pace of progress frustrating.
There really is need for a big-time change because internet is the virtual home of Tibetan people because Tibet doesn't exist for us.
Dharamshala resident Lobsang Wangyal is a self-styled cultural entrepreneur who was born in a refugee camp in India and has lived outside of Tibet all his life. He believes leaders of the Tibetan government in exile need to move faster.
Now, one simple example. Until very recently, the editor of the Tibetan Bulletin, the most important government mouthpiece, he didn't have internet access. Now, what can I say now, you know?
Wangyal thinks the government should appoint roving editors with laptops and digital cameras and use the internet to get news of Tibetan issues out faster, just like blogs in the West. While change may not be coming as fast as young Tibetans may like, things have come a long way from the early days of life in exile, when fleeing monks would hide ancient texts inside religious statues, then smuggle them off to safe hiding in monasteries. This priest at a nearby temple is chanting from ancient texts inked into hand-bound books. Now, sacred words like these are being preserved digitally as some Tibetan elders embrace technology as a way to share cultural knowledge.
Now many very important masters are passed away, but still we have their voice with us.
Professor Samdong Rinpoche is a 67-year-old religious scholar and a close associate of the Dalai Lama. He's now the elected prime minister of the government in exile. Samdong Rinpoche says he carries electronic copies of a large collection of religious texts. 300 volumes of his canon fit neatly on a few CDs. He believes there's something inherently Tibetan about the internet and cites the Buddhist philosophy that everything in the universe links to everything else. Life is a network.
We Buddhists believe in the philosophy of interdependentness. Nothing is independent. Everything is interrelated and interdependent. And for connecting, we need communication. And communication is very good.
For NPR News, I'm Shani Jardin.